Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Going Long with Joe and Paul. On this episode, a breakdown of the busy rest of the month of October, rain chances in the lower to mid-Mississippi Valley, and an outlook for the month of November. Now, here they are, meteorologist Paul Pastelak and Joe Lundberg.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition Going Long with Joe and Paul. And Joe, I'm looking out the window. I'm sitting on my couch working from home today, and the snow is coming down from the sky for the first time.
I noticed that for the first time, October 19th, the first snowflakes of the season in central Pennsylvania.
We had a few flakes at the soccer field yesterday mixed in with the rain. It was pretty chilly, but it wasn't extreme. I've had even some colder days than that, but it was chilly. And then today is when it just kind of turned over. The upper levels got cold enough that it just snowed. And when it laid on the deck a little bit, and then once it eased back, it melted off. So that's pretty much what you see in October anyway around here. So
yeah, unless it's going to come down persistently for a long enough period of time and hard enough, you know, it's not going to amount to too much, and it's mostly going to be on non-paved surfaces, especially once you get past sunrise.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing is I tried videotaping it, okay? And I did, and I tried putting it on Facebook and tell everybody, but my darn phone has got so much problems with it. The storage is all built up. I need a new phone. I can't get a new phone right now. And it's like, I can't send the snow.
That sounds like me right now. I need that. But I need a new phone myself, but I right now the priority is the car. I got to take that in tomorrow for service for 60,000 mile service, and that's going to cost me an arm and a leg, which
I know the phone doesn't charge very well. The storage is all bent up. And you guys are probably going to laugh when I say this, I have an S9, so you know that's like old. It's not that old, but it's old, and it's like I just don't have the money to get a new phone. So
it's just I'm in the same boat as you right now. I got a higher priority. I'm going to make sure that my car is seaworthy. I got to go to Pittsburgh on Friday to pick my wife up at the airport. She's down in Dothan, Alabama right now, and she was complaining. She went to the beach yesterday in Panama City, and she sent me pictures. Says it's beautiful, but it's cold here. It was like 60 degrees with wind whipping out of the north. I'd take that.
Did you happen to see? I didn't get a chance today to check. How far south did the freezing line get in the south? I didn't get a chance.
I know they had 35 or 36 in Dothan, a new record low there this morning. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know if it got, I don't think the freezing line got into northern Florida, the Florida Panhandle, although the dew points were the 20s for a time yesterday in Pensacola. It was amazing how dry this air mass is. But I'm sure southern parts of Alabama and Mississippi have had freezing temperatures this morning. I'm certain of it.
Yeah, it is a. You know, the thing is that people say, well, you guys didn't see this out. You know something? I hate to say it. We just didn't pull the trigger because there's a lot of people that, and I've said this over and over again, when we look at the long range, you know, it's the models can be bad enough out 2, 3, 4 days. We're looking way out. You know, we're looking 2 weeks, a month out in advance, and you're not going to have any model that tells you exactly what's going to happen down the road here. You know, it's like you're not going to get too specific enough to say, yeah, the freezing line is going to be right here from 4 weeks out. You know, it's going to be one of those things where it does look colder than normal, and there's certain other patterns that are going in East Asia and the Pacific that says this thing could get really amplified. And that's what we talked about. We told our clients that. We said all this stuff. But, you know, a lot of people won't pull the trigger until they see it, until they finally see it on the models. Well, sometimes by that time, for some of our clients, that's a little too late. And we try to give them some insight onto this. But I'm telling you, it did show some amplified pattern here. And that cold air came straight out of the north, down on the west side of Hudson Bay, straight southward behind this upper level trough. So
I do remember us talking about this, I think last week, that there was going to be two shots of cold. The first one was not really a direct discharge, and it would come and it would moderate and go away. And then there'd be a second one that would have more of a colder bent to it. And it was just a question of how far south it was going to get. And it looked like it was going to be more thrust down the plains. Well, they've gotten it, but it's also expanded more into the east. And I remember us talking that the second shot would have more of an impact in the east than the first shot. And that's definitely going to come to fruition.
And that was all you, Joe, because remember from a few weeks ago, it looked like it was going to be Sunday night. That I would see flurries on the soccer field with my son. But you said in the last week that first shot, you didn't think the temperatures were going to drop much behind that front. It was going to be the second one. I remember you saying that on the
If you go back to this past weekend, Saturday, you know, for the I was watching the debacle known as the Penn State Michigan game, and I gave up after in the third quarter. Said I'm going out for a bike ride, and it was windy as all get out. I mean, there were wind gusting over 30 miles per hour, but it was sunny and it was warm. It was 70 degrees on Saturday, so that was proof that first shot of cool air really wasn't all that bad. And we've had to wait for the progression of this deepening upper level trough to bring about this shot of cold, and of course the snow that we've seen with it.
Well, they've seen lake effect snow, 1 to 2 feet in the UP and northern Wisconsin. And then, even in Indiana, they had some lake effect snow the other day. And, we're seeing early signs of the lake effect here taking place. Now, the one thing I see with this early cool shot here, Joe, is that the lakes already were running a couple degrees cooler than last year, close to normal on average when you look at the last 10 to 15 years. And this, may cool the lakes down a little bit. I know it may try to level off because we do have a couple warm-ups down the pike here we'll talk about in a second. But it does look like the lakes actually could slide a little bit below normal for once, something we haven't seen too much in the last few years. So, but how much that continues that trend is hard to say. Could the lakes freeze up a little bit earlier this year? I don't know. But that's something to continue to watch as we go through the rest of fall on how much cooling we see. So
let's talk about that change where the things are going to stabilize around the lakes in terms of, the cool down that we're seeing right now. And I want to tie at least a couple of things together, and you can add on to it because you look at an even bigger picture than I do. But, I took note of a storm that's now pounding the panhandle of Alaska with some strong wind and heavy rain. And I think back to a conversation we had, I think, last week, where we felt the storm track was going to be a little farther north this winter to start or going into the winter season than what we saw last year based on the ocean temperature profile of the Pacific, where there was cooler, there was a pool of cooler water in the North Pacific, and that dictated a farther south storm track. That's not there right now. So we're seeing this storm going in more to the north, affecting the Alaska Panhandle and Western Canada. And I think that it's that storm that, reorganizes inland, in the Northwest Territories over the next 24 to 36 hours that kicks out this upper level trough. All that warm air that we're seeing in the Northwest then gets shoved eastward across the Rockies and out into the Plain States. The flow flattens, and again kicks out all this cold air. So I think we can say good riddance to it. And it's thanks to that storm, at least in part, that's combing into Alaska right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Everything you just said, Joe, is completely correct. And I have to give a little kudos out to the forecast models because they said they were a little, it started a little late by a week or two, but they said there'll be tremendous onshore flow across Western Canada that will produce heavier than normal precipitation, even up into Alaska during the fall season. And that's coming true here. This is the trend we're seeing over the next next couple of weeks, maybe some breaks in between, but over the next few weeks, we're going to see that. And like you said, the storm track is farther north than what we saw last year because of that cool pool of water. That difference that set up last year is not there. And so your typical La Nina is to start north and then try to work your way down a little bit farther south during the middle of the wet season. Right now, we're seeing everything working the way it's supposed to for a La Nina. But again, it's just slightly farther north than usual. But other than that, I like what I'm seeing, Joe. And underneath that is a lot of marine air. And that comes across the country and it downslopes out of the Rockies. Yep. And it kind of just holds back any true Arctic air after this from coming down. So.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that. I mean, this first thing just really floods the country with a lot of Pacific air, and that's not cold. I mean, that's like you said, that's a marine influence, or at least a marine base, if you will. And that just means a lot of mild weather for most of the country. I mean, there's going to be some fronts that'll come through, but I don't think most of those will have the intensity of what we're seeing right now across the eastern half of the country.
Yeah, exactly. And then the only thing we got to watch is, after, besides all that stuff going on, is some funny stuff happening in the Western Atlantic. I mean, we may have development of if you want to call it just regular surface lows, or maybe a kind of a hybrid systems that may try to form down toward the Bahamas and either come up the East Coast. And I'm still not convinced that about the system, about the scenario coming up late this weekend and early next week. I still think there's a couple of systems that we're watching in the Southwest Atlantic that may churn itself even down into the Caribbean a little bit. And I'm not sure quite exactly what's going to come out of it because the modeling is all over the place, but
it really is.
It looks like New England's going to get some rain as we go into early next week. And that's when you cool down. When you get into that kind of rain, that's your cool down day. But the days that Joe, you know, you were talking about, you know, you get some sunshine in this type of air mass, it's going to warm up nicely and still feel pretty good outside to do things.
It is. And it's why I kind of like the fall season when you get these big flabby highs. You get the cool nights, but then it warms up really nicely during the day. I guess the only thing you'd have to worry about would be, you know, if you get fog to form in the valleys during right. the, you know, late night and morning hours, it takes longer to burn off at this time of the year. But aside from those two little things, you're right. I mean, really the cool down would be with this coastal storm and how far north and west does it have an impact? You know, the European is the most aggressive with it, but I noticed even the Canadian is, you know, kind of looking more like the European this morning and suggesting that that moisture gets at least into parts of eastern Pennsylvania later this weekend, probably Sunday and Sunday night, and maybe lasting into Monday. And keep that in mind. It might have an impact on game four of the ALCS yep. in New York Sunday night, or game five if they play it on Monday afternoon in the Bronx. So,
well, the way the playoffs has been going, Joe, I'm pretty certain there's going to be something around the way it's going right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like, you know, there've been a couple of games affected by bad weather, you know, that the Yankees have played. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's two more that are impacted by adverse weather with this coastal system. But you mentioned a couple of things. I think there's that one. I suspect that that's not going to be tropical. I don't even think they're going to yeah. name that. But there may be something else lurking out there. It's kind of like a blocking high out over the north central Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And I think something may form underneath that and try to work its way toward the Bahamas or maybe into the northern or northeast Caribbean. So that's something else we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's not over yet. We still got to keep an eye on this stuff. The one thing, it's going back to the warmth. When I tried to do this video that did not work on my phone, there was a glimpse of my deck. Okay, and I was really late this year because of all the sports that I never got to staining my deck this year. So I sanded it last week, and I'm going to try to stain and paint it to protect it for the winter season. And people are like, "What are you doing? It's almost fall. Just let it go." And I'm like, "No, we still got some milder periods to come.
Yes,
and
we do.
I think we do all the way into early November. I think we're going to see some warm-ups, and that's going to give me a day where I can go out there and stain. So just a little bit of advice. You can still do some of those outdoor projects despite seeing the snow flying outside your window right now, because this is October. Things can turn around pretty quick.
Well, and just look what's cool. What's going to be happening to our west in the middle part of the country. You know, they're getting this incredible chill. I mean, temperatures were in the single digits in parts of Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas yesterday morning. And mm-hmm. certainly in a lot of places, the teens, record lows. I mean, it was down in the 20s in Wichita yesterday. It's, you know, real cold all the way down into parts of Texas. They're going to do a complete 180. They could be challenging record highs in the Plain States this weekend. I mean, yeah, that's how dramatic of a change is going to take place in the next 3 days.
Yeah, Joe, the models have for Friday 85 in Wichita now, 86 on Saturday, 88 on Sunday. What a
yeah.
turnaround.
Yeah, mean, and that air mass is bone dry. I wouldn't be surprised if it overachieves, you know, and with the lack of moisture out there ahead of this next front, how some places are going to be over 90 degrees later this weekend.
Normal high in Wichita is 66 this time of the year. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That is a turnaround out there. So, like I said, we're not going to probably see 88, 89 in the east, but, you know, it's still going to be well above normal.
Yeah, if you can get some 70-degree days in the last week of October, that's quite a bit above normal. Your normals are dropping into the low 60s in the big cities and into the 50s elsewhere. So, you know, a 70-degree day, that's big-time bonus weather at the end of October.
What's your thoughts on rainfall along the Mississippi River, especially central and southern areas of the Mississippi?
That's a tough question. And I don't trust the modeling right now because, you know, for instance, look at the GFS right there, the 0Z run. You know, if you look at that, it has a big storm coming into the east next Thursday. Huge storm with rain. If you look at the 6Z run, it has nothing, no storm at all. I mean, yeah. It's just nothing there. And the European doesn't look like that, you know, so these models are having a tough time with it. And And I don't know. And some of it may be tied to some Pacific moisture from a system that's going to be developing in the eastern Pacific. Some of that moisture comes over Mexico and I think gets unleashed in Texas. But I don't know how much of it gets attached to this front. The models are uncertain as to how that pans out. You know, some models say, it's, you know, there's not a lot for the south and then it falls apart. And others say, no, it can get strung up along the front. So I'm back and forth on that. I'm a little wetter in my thinking today than what I was when we talked in the long range team meeting yesterday.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think those two features stay separate. I think the system that tries to form and goes into Mexico keeps its mid to upper level structure, goes across very far southern Texas into the Gulf. And then there's, you know, some energy that comes out of the west, and it, you know, it doesn't look very supportive, but it does look like it rains a little bit in East Texas to Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi. But by no means is this going to be a cure to what's going on along the Mississippi River. For you guys that don't know, I mean, they're having a hard time moving barges on the Mississippi River right now because the levels are so low, almost record lows in some places. And they have to stop the barge because they stop on their own on the shallow water. And this is transporting tremendous amount of grains from the Midwest harvest and the Ohio yep. Valley harvest to get to the ports to sell out to countries. And they just can't get it to the ports. And this is bad. This is a very bad situation. And we need rain, but the chances in the, I think we – did we talk about this last time or was it something?
I don't think we did.
We went over our long range team trying to figure out, we've been questioning them when it's going to try and, you know, get the patterns going to change enough that they can get more decent rain. Well, it doesn't look good until January. I mean, before then you'll get some fronts, but as far as getting, you know, good amount of rain consistent, the pattern is not very supportive until you get to like later into the winter season. Before that, it's just spotty fronts coming down and, you know, bring some rain, but not enough.
I think that the storms will make some difference in the levels. It should stabilize them, and it may bring them up a few inches. Can it bring them up a whole foot or more? Probably not. I don't know that there's going to be enough moisture over the Mississippi Basin proper or its big tributaries like the Missouri River and the Ohio River.
Yeah.
Again, the models are kind of back and forth as to, you know, who might have the better shot at rain. I mean, either one would be helpful because those will drain into the Mississippi and then flow downstream. But I'm just not sure that it's consistent. It may be a one and done type of deal where you get that and then it kind of backs off after that and you go back into a drier than normal pattern for a week or two.
And then people were saying, it'll happen. They'll get it and it'll be no big deal. You know, they'll get the grain signs. Look, if they don't get these grains down to export, these other countries are just going to go elsewhere to get their, you know, their stuff. And we lose out a ton of money out of this. So it's like, this is very important for our economy. And I just think people don't understand that. And this is just a bad thing, bad situation. I really didn't see it coming. I didn't see it getting this bad because it seems like every spring we're talking about flooding and heavy rain down that area. And it's happened. And you would think that that's been the solve, but everything runs off. And if you don't stay keep getting consistent rains in some places in our country, then things start to go the other way in a bad way. So that's one thing example right there, the Mississippi River. So,
hey, quick question you had put up there: what is November going to be like? You know, in the overall pattern, the best chance for snow and colder weather. Quick thoughts on that before we wrap things up for today.
Still think that there's going to be the beginning, still some warmth coming into the east. A little nervous about the east coast, like another system kind of hanging around, big upper trough just around Halloween and just after, kind of keeping things held back, and then warmth comes in. And then as you get into week two and week three, we turn another page here, and things start to get a little more unsettled in the eastern half of the nation, drier and warmer in the southwest, and maybe far northern areas of the northwest and the western Canada getting some systems, but kind of almost another version of what we just saw, but just kind of held down just a little bit, a little flatter on the ridge in the west, Joe.
Which would be good because, I mean, they don't want to go through a period of extreme warmth and dryness like they've just had.
No.
You know, the pattern for the next couple of weeks looks good, cooler, maybe putting out most of the fires up there, hopefully with some rain and lowering snow levels. So that would be good. I don't think they want to go back and reverse as we go into November.
Yeah, just be careful in November because you know, if that pattern sets up by week two, week three, maybe we have something interesting to talk about the Northeast as far as maybe, you know, an early system here of interior Northeast. I saw one model. It's a long way off, but it was like around the 20th or something, had some type of interior Northeast snow event taking place. We've seen the analogs support that idea. So it's not out of the question it can happen. But
just before Thanksgiving travel. How about
right? So I think it does turn chillier and more unsettled in the East as we head toward the middle part of November.
Well, there's a tease for the coming weeks of our Going Long podcast.
So, you know, that just keeps people coming back to see what's going to happen, really.
Yep. So, exactly. See if we can verify on that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, that's what we've had. And I don't think there's anything that's changed my mind on this to change that right now. So I think we just stick with it. So we'll see.
All right.
Let's break it down, Joe. What do you think?
All right. The West, I think the Southwest largely escapes, or I should say, I don't, maybe I shouldn't phrase it that way, but largely misses out on rain. I think there could be, next week, there'll be a parade of systems going by to the north that can get some moisture into Northern California and the Northern Sierra. The European weeklies are more gung-ho about that. I know you were a little skeptical about that, and I guess I kind of am too, looking at things right now. But at least the Northwest is going to cash in on some of this with rain and lower snow levels, maybe down to past levels, and much cooler weather than they've had.
Yeah, if you guys are follow the forecast models, any of you out there that's listening, be careful of the GFS trap. I mean, I'm just a little nervous. It's trying to push things too far south at this point, but I think California, Central Southern California, is mainly dry through this period.
I kind of agree with that. I think that's right.
Plain states. We go from chill to summertime heat. What do you think about that, Joe? And high winds, actually.
Yes, there's going to be a lot of wind. In fact, I think that there's going to be a widespread area with red flag warnings this weekend as the wind cranks up, as a storm starts to come out of the Rockies and deepen. You're going to have a big high to the east, so there's going to be a lot of wind in between. And that area is pretty dry. I mean, it's really dry. So I'm concerned that there's going to be some fire danger in some of those places, even if it's just the small little brush fire type things. But it's just real dry, windy, and very warm. That's not a good recipe, even for the latter part of October. And then a storm comes through. Maybe there's some severe weather with it. There's hopefully an opportunity for some rain, maybe snow in the high plains on the backside of it. I'm not real certain about that, but then it's a little cooler after that.
Yeah, late Sunday into Monday, folks, keep an eye on that period, because we could have some strong winds in the high and northern plains, upper Midwest, rain, snow, and severe weather, all to talk about out of this system. This is a pretty strong system on some of the modeling right now.
So yes, it is.
Farther east, you know, you're chilly now too, but you should warm up and modify. A little bit of rain possible for New England out of the system to start off next week.
Maybe even Mid-Atlantic later Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I guess it could even occur as early as Saturday night in some places for the easternmost Carolinas. But, you know, it's not for the interior Southeast. You're going to miss this. Yeah. And it's going to be pretty quiet weather, and it's going to warm up very steadily and very nicely after the chill of the next couple of mornings.
And then we'll have to see if there's any type of big time cold front coming through the first part of next week as well for you guys. The air mass,
you're certainly not going to see any front, I think, in the south and in the mid-Atlantic states like you're seeing right now with this kind of show.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a one-time thing, I think, here for October coming down. And then it's, you know, you can get cool, but you may not get as cold as you're seeing right now.
So. More typical fronts for the end of October, beginning of November.
Sounds good. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Going Long with Joe and Paul. Thanks for listening. And, again, stay with us here for next week. We'll talk more about the fall season, maybe get some hints of the winter season again. Any details, any updates coming in, we'll let you know. And
any potential pre-Thanksgiving storm?
Ooh, yeah. Get a touch of winter now. Maybe we'll get another touch of winter in the next holiday here. So we'll see.
There you go.
All right. Until then, hey, have a great week.